Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Ron, let's go out to the Hall and Capitas fan hotline where we find the iconic Brian Batko from the Post-Gazette. Brian, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing well. I know you were on this Mel Kiper Jr. Does he still go by Junior? Do we add the Junior when referencing him?
I don't, but I'm kind of a curmudgeon about that. Like, I don't give Ulysses Gilbert his third a lot of the times. I don't give Anthony McFarland a Junior when I write about the Steelers, so maybe I'm the wrong guy to ask.
All right. Well, you were on the conference call with Mel Kiper Jr. I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before. And he had a very interesting pick for the Steelers, or at least I won't say pick. I don't know who he chose in his mock draft, but he said that Kyle Trask would be a good fit for the Steelers. Is that who he also has them picking? Brian,
no.
What do you think about Kyle Trask?
No, yeah, he has them picking Landon Dickerson right now in the first round, the center/guard from Alabama. But the way these calls work is sometimes it's NFL beat writers like me who will ask about a pick like that. Hey, why do you have this guy going to the Steelers in the first round? But the other half of the people on there are like college writers who will be covering the Florida Gators and say, Mel, what do you think of Kyle Trask and who would be a good fit? And that's exactly what the question was. And the first team out of his mouth was the Steelers. So now, hey, I'm not suggesting that he has any sort of inside intel or anything like that, but he seems to be basing it on he's kind of similar in stature to Ben, Kyle Trask is, and the Steelers might have one foot in the rebuilding door and one foot in the win now door. So I guess that's where he's coming from with that. For me, I don't see it all that much with Trask or really Mac Jones when you talk about those two quarterbacks that are kind of fifth and sixth for most people in the draft. But I guess, you know, it makes sense to when the national guys mock those players to the Steelers because they are sort of in the mold of the quarterbacks that the Steelers have pursued recently in the draft.
They kind of strike me as being more in the mold of Mason Rudolph, though, aren't they? I mean, is that really the way they want to go? I don't see a dynamic player when I look at Trask. I see Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ron, and so are basically every Steelers fan that replied to me tweeting out that comment from Kiper. It was a lot of people saying the Steelers already have Kyle Trask on the roster, and his name is Mason Rudolph, and it is pretty eerily similar when you look at their build, and you know the gaudy statistics are there at the college level, but they're not really going to have the kind of dual threat capability. I mean, they're both basically statues, especially at the NFL level, and for me personally, that's not really what I think the Steelers should be looking for in Ben's successor, but I guess the thinking there is if you want to sort of keep your organizational values the same and try to win the same way you won two Super Bowls with Ben, then maybe you go after a similar kind of player, but I personally just don't think that's the way good offenses are trending in the NFL.
Brian Batko on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. So I'm looking at the CBS Sports mock draft. They got five quarterbacks going in the first eight picks. Obviously, Lawrence one. Now Zach Wilson two to the Jets. Then they have Justin Fields four to the Falcons. Mac Jones six to the Eagles. Do you think that could happen? They're going to have two Alabama quarterbacks out there. Are they setting themselves up for another disaster there? They're going to quit a game late in the season so Mac Jones can get in? And then Trey Lance at number 8 to the Panthers. What do you think of all that?
I mean, don't we always sort of have those kind of really sexy mock drafts at this time in March where all the quarterbacks are flying off the board early? And then I just think back to last year, the kid from Utah State or something, Jordan Love. I mean, he did end up going in the first round, but he wasn't in the top 5 or even the top 10. I mean, I think this could very well change. What's sort of interesting is that that mock draft that you just mentioned, Joe, does have Mac Jones above Trey Lance. Certainly saw more of Jones since he played for Alabama and not North Dakota State. But to me, Lance is the guy who has kind of that high upside, the ceiling of a player who can beat you with his legs and his arm more so than Jones. I mean, with him, I mean, I think he makes all the right decisions and all the right reads, but when you're not going to have the same kind of talent around you relative to the defense the way he did with the Crimson Tide, I would just be a little bit leery of using a super high pick on him as my franchise quarterback.
Jody, you got a draft follow? I was going to ask about what we were talking about a little earlier.
I have many, but I will wait on those, Ron. We can go back and forth.
All right. We were talking about, you know, the J.J. Watt sweepstakes is over.
Yeah.
You know, going now to Arizona. Now we can focus on T.J. Watt and what kind of deal he is going to get from the Steelers. I mean, I'm thinking just astronomical, you know, probably a lot more than his brother just got. What do you see happening there? And I mentioned a possibility, and correct me if I'm wrong. Is it possible they could just let him play out this year and then franchise him before next year?
I don't know that I would want to use the franchise tag on a guy as good as T.J. Watt. I mean, not that those situations are always as prickly as it was with Le'Veon Bell, but I almost think someone like T.J. deserves to just go right to the big mega bucks extension, and I know that that's going to be difficult for the Steelers given how tight it is for them on the cap, but I also think part of the reason why they are up against it is because they have been anticipating this for so long with TJ. The fact that you are going to have to make him one of the highest paid defensive players in the league, if not maybe even the highest, the way I see it. I mean, certainly his credentials and his resume, you could very well argue that he should be, you know, that highest paid player. And the edge rushers usually are the ones getting the most money. I think the highest paid player right now is you know, Joey Bosa or Myles Garrett at that position. I know Aaron Donald had a brief time where he was number one, but Khalil Mack quickly came in there too. So you know, if you're looking at that range, it's going to be a total value of like $130 million to maybe even $145 if he really wants to break the bank. And, you know, we know the Steelers haven't had a ton of humongous deals like that, but they also haven't had a ton of players like T.J. Watt, at least not maybe since James Harrison was winning Defensive Player of the Year.
You can follow us at 93.7 The Fan on Twitter, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer, locations in Wexford, North Huntington, and Uniontown. Visit ShorkeyKia.com. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates Fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette on the line. So getting back to what the Steelers might do, I know our colleague Jerry Dulac believes that if Najee Harris is there at 24, you jump on him. I agree with that completely. Now another running back, even Etienne, I don't like as good as him. If it's any, that's the only running back I would jump on there. If he's there, Brian, would you, or would you go all things being equal for an offensive lineman, or what are you thinking?
With these draft decisions, you know, you can change your mind a million times between now and late April, and I know you guys were giving my guy Ray Fittipaldo some crap about that last week because he's already on his second mock draft of however many, but that is, you know, kind of how you have to do it with these things, and people will read every single one that Ray or I write between now and then. I say all that to say, at this point, I'm leaning toward running back because I do think it's just kind of, you know, keep it simple, stupid a little bit. That's your biggest hole on offense, and that's where you can probably use the biggest upgrade. But where I differ from you, Joe, is I actually like Travis Etienne a little bit better than Najee Harris. And I think it's close. I think there's a clear top two, although the guy from UNC, Javonte Williams, is intriguing as well. But the fact that Etienne and Harris played against so much good competition over their 4 years at Alabama and Clemson, what gives Etienne the edge for me is he is just so fast. I think the crazy stat with him is more runs longer than 20 yards of any FBS player since like 2014. And I think he had 20 runs of at least 44 yards for a touchdown, which is just mind-boggling. So I like that kind of player to give the Steelers offense the kind of big boost that they need in the ground game, because when you finish 32nd, I think it is absolutely a big boost that you need.
So in theory, you would prefer a running back over an offensive lineman?
Yeah, I think I would, just because you do have a little bit in the pipeline with Chukwuma Okorafor and Zach Banner. Now, neither one really proven, but Kevin Dotson showed that you can find those guys a little bit later in the draft if you want to.
Well, let's go full circle here, Brian, and get back to Mel Kiper. How do we all feel about Mel Kiper? I think he takes unnecessary hits, Ron. I'll be honest with you. I'm a Mel Kiper fan. I haven't been for his whole time. My God, he started... I was a year out of high school. I was at my freshman year at Cortland State drinking Narragansett and Meisterbrow and Old Milwaukee when Mel Kiper was getting started at ESPN, 1984, or wherever. Yeah, ESPN. I like him in the end. I think he's good, and I enjoy listening to him. How about you, Ron?
Yeah, he's built himself quite a career, hasn't he? I mean, he talk about a self-made man. Yeah, I think he puts in the time. I think he knows his stuff. At the end, I mean, it's just his opinion like everybody else's, but his is more educated than most, I think. So, you know, I have no problem with him. I know people like to ridicule his hair and everything else. And when you're front and center like his, you know, in a public eye, you are going to be ridiculed. But I have no problem with him.
Yeah, I suppose you could argue he's not one of these guys who was in an NFL front office, at least not to my knowledge at any point, was never a scout at that level. But I don't have any hot takes on which draft gurus do this better than others. I mean, when I, you know, tweeted Kiper's name yesterday, had all sorts of people saying, oh, well, he thought this guy was going to be good, and he thought the Steelers should have taken Chad Pennington, blah, blah, blah. If you do this for long enough, every single guy is going to have players that they missed on, good and bad.
Right. Was he in good spirits? Is he on top of his game at age 60 on the conference call?
Absolutely. It was a 90-minute Zoom call. I mean, he just took question after question and just, you know, barely even took a breath. So I certainly thank him for getting on with the scribes like us who just want a little bit of informed opinion about the hundreds of guys in the draft process.
And that's the bottom line, is a little informed opinion. I think the guy's unbelievable. His mind is like an advanced, you know, computer. And people want to say, oh, he didn't get the mock draft. He only got 3-5 picks. So what? Nobody's going to get a mock draft right. That's not the point. The point is that people love this. They eat it up, and they want to get informed opinions on these prospects.
I'm going to disagree with you, Joe. Ray Fittipaldo is going to get it right because he's going to have the Steelers picking 100 guys, and eventually they're going to pick one of them. So he will get it right.
Brian, he doesn't do mock drafts. Ray does pump drafts, which means he'll go 18 different ways until he gets it right.
Hey, in Ray's defense, I think he was just trying to throw out some different scenarios of what could happen. And in his latest one, he has the Steelers taking an O-lineman. So he is in lockstep with Kiper for right now, who said he was telling – I asked him about that yesterday. He said Landon Dickerson just plays like a Steeler. When he was at the Senior Bowl, he couldn't participate because he got hurt. And I think, I don't know if it was the SEC championship game or the college football playoff, but I guess the coaches down there at the Senior Bowl said he was like another coach, the way he was getting into the offensive lineman and being a leader. Does that sound like a former recent center that the Steelers had? I don't know about you guys.
Well, I'm with him too. I would prefer a alignment over a running back, although this Najee Harris obviously is special. You know, talking about T.J. Watt and an extension, we know he's due for one. We know who their list of free agents are this year that they're probably not going to be able to keep. Is there anybody else that is due for an extension in this offseason?
Well, I would think one of these, 18 or 19 unrestricted free agents. If they come back, we'll get something long term. But yeah, I think the Minkah Fitzpatrick deal can probably afford to wait one more off season, the way I see it. Other than that, you know, no real obvious candidates stick out to me right now. You know, especially just with the uncertainty of not really knowing how high that cap is going to bounce back up a year from now. Certainly they hope it's a lot with how much talent they're trying to retain. But I would wonder if maybe that will put a little bit of a holding pattern on things. You know, we'll see. That defense has a lot of moving parts and young guys who look like they're going to be here a long time, but I think also still have something to prove.
Brian, we appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. We'll see you, fellas.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.